Did the NCAA selection committee screw the Missouri Tigers? Plus, how the heck does Tennessee get three lines ahead of Missouri despite Missouri beating the Vols twice? Well, let's talk about all that and more coming up right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. Thanks for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And speaking of every day, well, gosh, I literally have been doing content every day here lately, including the weekends. Hey, thank you, Missouri. Thank you to Dennis Gates and the whole squad for giving me something really fun to talk about this season, by the way. But if you did happen to see a little bit of my content yesterday, I put on a Locked On Now video. In fact, during the selection show, since Missouri was picked, it was revealed so early that they were playing Utah State as part of that 7-10 matchup. And my immediate reaction there was, why does the NCAA hate us? That was the caption I put on the video. Well, you know what? That was my immediate reaction, and I do just want to backtrack just a tiny bit from that statement. Number one, that's just a better headline than, well, here's why Missouri may have been under blah, 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 blah. Hate just sounds better, doesn't it? Gets a lot more clicks. But the God's honest is, I really think that Missouri seed, the 7 seed, I think it's okay. I think it's fine. I really do. Could I have seen the Tigers getting a 6? Yeah, absolutely. And at one point earlier in the week, I did think that Tennessee win in the tournament would get Missouri a 6. But a 7 just doesn't really surprise me all that much. Now, Texas A&M being a 7 seed, that truly shocked me, I have to say. And maybe the lesson is, don't go completely scorched earth on the NCAA committee when you don't get what you want, as the Aggies did not last year. So in that spirit, I do want to be fair here to the committee. And what I was really reacting to, again, wasn't the seeding so much. It was two things. Number one, the quality of the opponent. Is it too much to ask for a number 7 seed in the tournament to be favored at FanDuel.com, at FanDuel Sportsbook, I should say, over a number 10? If you're the 7, you're playing a 10, shouldn't you be favored? Right? So, unfortunately, though, currently, well, or maybe fortunately, if you think the Tigers are going to win, maybe you got a heck of a value here, but currently the Tigers are 2.5-point underdogs over at FanDuel. And I know Missouri fans aren't big fans of KenPom or the advanced sort of predictive metrics, as they're often called these days, but it is worth noting that of all the double-digit seeds in the NCAA tournament this season, Utah State is ranked by far the best of all of them in KenPom. In fact, according to KenPom, they're the 18th best team in the country. That seems like a pretty good, solid 10 seed, doesn't it? And secondly, another part of this that I wasn't a huge fan of, I also don't love the Sacramento location for Missouri either. In fact, when I looked at all 8 of the possibilities heading into this tournament, I would have probably ranked that one 8th out of 8th. Much less, not only is it the farthest away, frankly, no offense to the good people of Sacramento, not exactly a tourist destination, is it? But at the same time, I think some Missouri fans online I saw were maybe reacting a little bit too hard to that as well, because while Utah State is certainly a big university, every bit as big as Mizzou with an enrollment of 28,000 people, well, it's not exactly an easy trip to Sacramento from Utah State either. Sometimes we forget, or at least I forget occasionally, or underestimate just how massive those states are in the western part of this country, because that is still a 10.5 hour drive from Logan, Utah to Sacramento. And if you think it's a hop, skip, and a jump on a plane, well, doubt there's a lot of direct Logan to Sacramento flights. So you'd still have to drive 90 minutes to Salt Lake City if you really want to get your butt to that game if you're a Utah State Aggies fan. So I don't know, just this idea that, oh my God, there's going to be thousands and thousands of Utah State fans and it'll be a de facto road game for Missouri. I don't know. If that happens, I'll be really impressed with their fan base. I'll just say that. And this is a fan base that has certainly been in the NCAA tournament in recent years. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see the breakdown of the crowd there. Certainly hard to imagine a gigantic Missouri contingent in Sacramento, though. Also, interesting to note, over at FanDuel, by the way, Missouri and Utah State currently has the highest over-under of all the Thursday and Friday games as well, which does add up, by the way, because, of course, Missouri is one of the absolute premier offensive teams in the entire country. And guess what? Utah State's pretty good at scoring the basketball, too. And just quickly here, another thing I do want to clean up from my Locked On Now video yesterday. I said the Aggies weren't a strong offensive rebounding team and weren't particularly big either. Well, the first half of that statement is true. The Aggies are not a great offensive rebounding team statistically whatsoever, but I then assumed a little too much there that the Aggies don't have size. Well, Utah State certainly has height, and they do a fine job of grabbing defensive rebounds. It just seems like, based on their statistical profile, that they're basically giving up on offensive rebounds. They're one of those type of teams that's much more interested in getting back on defense and setting up their half court D and avoiding fast breaks, as opposed to worrying about trying to crash the offensive glass. And considering that Missouri obviously is not a great defensive rebounding team whatsoever, and also Missouri not playing at the hyper speed it did earlier in this season, frankly, I'll take that trade-off. So matchup-wise, I actually like the fact that Utah State is not aggressive on the offensive glass despite their height advantage, but heck, you never know. Maybe Utah State will go against its tendencies against Missouri, but I kind of doubt it. But again, speaking of more statistical tendencies turnover-wise, Utah State, at least on paper, not great at taking care of the ball, and they also don't turn you over much on the other end either. So think a Konzo Martin-style low-risk defense, I would say. But again, with Utah State, when they get a shot up, there's a good chance it's going in. They hit their threes well, they're good from inside the arc, and obviously Missouri will want to try to get Utah State off kilter as much as possible with its trapping and aggressive style defense, DeMoy Hodge getting his hands into passing lanes and into dribbler spaces and all that kind of stuff. So if Missouri can do that, well, obviously I think they got a great chance to win, but apparently not as great as my friends over at FanDuel. And obviously a lot of Missouri fans were annoyed when they saw that Tennessee, a team that Missouri finished higher in the standings in the Southeastern Conference, and beat the Vols twice. Well, how could it be then that Tennessee is three spots higher than Missouri and a four seed in the tournament? Well, I want to try to explain the logic, if there is any, coming up. But first I want to tell you that the Built March Madness bracket is here, and we know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now's your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. And as you know, my favorite, the coconut marshmallow puff. And if you want the Tigers to win, then you'll be voting for that one too. Support your team and support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. And not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered straight to your door. So run up to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite Built bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick at Built.com. Grab your bracket and go listen to the Locked On College Basketball Bracket Breakdown with national analysis and insights from our local experts. The Locked On College Basketball Bracket Breakdown has everything you need to make the most informed decisions on your bracket. Find the episode on Locked On College Basketball's feed, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. So once again, Tennessee, a 4 seed, Missouri, a 7 seed. How can this possibly be? The Tigers finished higher in the standings in the SEC. They also beat the Volunteers twice. That seems pretty relevant. Am I right? Well, here's the lesson here, ladies and gentlemen. The non-conference season matters, and it matters a lot to the NCAA committee, every bit as much as these conference basketball games. Whether you agree with that philosophy or not, and frankly, I think anybody who disagrees with that is maybe being a little bit convenient with their argument and talking their own book, depending on if we're talking about Missouri or somebody else. Well, they're going to kind of switch their argument there. And here's my point. I understand that a lot of Missouri basketball fans were, burnt out on Missouri basketball from the last few seasons, especially last season, the Conzo Martin finale. So in November, when Missouri was playing a bunch of no-names like Mississippi Valley State and Lindenwood and Southern Indiana, well, I can understand why people weren't paying attention to not only the Tigers but to college basketball in general. So you may have missed that Tennessee was one of the absolute best teams in college basketball during the non-conference campaign. Hey, I know we hate Kansas, right? But I think we can admit that Kansas is pretty good on the basketball court this season. Well, you know what? Missouri got, frankly, demolished at home by the Jayhawks. Well, guess who whooped up on the Jayhawks on a neutral court by 14 back in November? Well, that would be the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee also has a win over Texas as well, a team that is a 2 seed in the NCAA brackets as well. So some really good wins there, and a close loss to Arizona as well. Also, the Volunteers beat USC, who's a top 40 type team, according to KenPom. So just a much better non-conference schedule from the Volunteers. Now, if you're going to say they shouldn't be 3 spots higher, yeah, I can see that argument. I really do. I absolutely see your point. If you think Missouri should maybe be a 6 and Tennessee a 5, something like that, I agree with you. I think 3 lines is way too much. But Tennessee being either even or slightly ahead of Missouri, despite what happened in the SEC this year, well, I think that actually is okay. I really do. I know some of you are getting angry and throwing your device across the room right now. Hopefully you have Bluetooth headphones so you can still hear me despite the chucking into the drywall. But in all seriousness, I just think that if you're a Missouri fan, you have to be fair. Because if you're going to say that the non-conference season, well, that was months ago and it shouldn't matter as much as the SEC schedule, well, let me flip that on you. If Missouri had happened to beat Kansas at Mizzou Arena this year, and fairly easily, let's say they won by 14, just like the Volunteers beat Kansas by 14. Would we as Missouri fans be going, hey, that was nice to beat the Jayhawks and all, but you know what? That game against Mississippi State in February was much more important, and we should factor that in more to the standings and the seedings and all that good stuff. Come on. There's not a single Missouri fan who would make that argument. So I get it. We want to be higher than Tennessee, especially since we beat them twice and all that stuff. And maybe you're right. I just don't think that we should make bad arguments, especially like, well, the non-con season, yada, yada, yada. Having said all that, I do agree that Missouri has certainly looked better down the stretch than Tennessee. And if you want to factor that in, please, by all means, factor in the Zakai Ziegler, their point guard, getting injured at the end of the season. Yeah, you should factor that in to your analysis on what they're doing going forward. I just don't think that you should punish them for having an injured player at the end of the season when they've already built their resume. argue with the resume, but I just don't think the forward-looking stuff, whether it's our own opinions in the eye test or it's the metrics, should actually matter in terms of seeding and who makes the field. What you did, that's what should matter. And you know what? Another real curiosity of the KenPom rankings right now is that even though Utah State is significantly higher, some 30-plus spots higher in the rankings than Missouri is, well, interestingly enough, Utah State has by far two worse losses on its resume than Missouri, and Missouri also has significantly better wins on its resume as well. So that part of this doesn't really add up. So let's talk more about Utah State and Missouri, that matchup here in the first round. But first, I do want to tell you about our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And of course, the NBA season is winding down. Just about 15 games to go, right? So now's the perfect time to get the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Download it now. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. And best of all, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And of course, I mentioned the total of the Missouri game. Heck, you can bet the money line, just bet them straight up to win. You can combine all types of different bets for a bigger payout into a same game parlay. So don't miss your chance for your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to fanduel.com/lockedon. That's fanduel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So again, on paper, we know that the numbers like Utah State, the predictive metrics, all that good stuff, well, they're predicting a Missouri victory by some 4 points or so, even more than the 2.5 point line that you see over at FanDuel Sportsbook. But it is fair to question, though, how much of this is real, because the schedule that Missouri played and the schedule that Utah State played really don't have a whole lot in common. And really, if you look at it, the best win on Utah State's resume right now is against the 31st best team, according to KenPom, a 10 seed in the tournament. That's the Boise State Broncos. Again, that's the best team that they've beaten all year. They beat them 2 out of 3 times, except one time on the road, they actually got smoked by Utah State by 23 points. So my question is, what do we do with that information? And plus, not only that, they've actually got two really bad losses on their resume from the non-conference season. Utah State lost to 191st ranked. Again, this is according to KenPom. 191 Weber State and 180 SMU. Those are pretty horrific, horrific losses. And Missouri, again, has played, not only have they played a far more difficult schedule, they're far more tested and they've passed most of the tests. Tigers do not have a truly bad loss on their schedule this year. Now, early in the season, the metrics are going to ding Missouri because, well, they only beat a really bad Southern Indiana team by 6. They only beat Southeast Missouri, by the way, by 7 in the game before. Again, a bad Southeast Missouri team that ended up making the field of 68. But again, according to your metrics, that's going to ding you. If you barely beat a team that is ranked really, really low and poorly, well, that's going to actually knock you down the rankings, not raise you up. If you want to disagree with that, fine. Personally, I think that actually makes a whole lot of sense. But what doesn't make sense is, again, Missouri's worst loss this season was to Florida on the road. Again, just on paper, objectively, that was Missouri's worst loss. Utah State with two much, much worse losses than that. Their best win is over Boise State. Well, Missouri has some pretty darn good wins this season. And again, not only against good team, not only against Tennessee, of course, Iowa State, blowing out Iowa State, by the way, in impressive fashion. Missouri also put it to Illinois and Kentucky as well. So to me, all of those victories are more impressive than whatever the Aggies did against Boise State in 2 out of those 3 nights. Again, away from Logan, they got pounded boy, Boise State. So I thought that was interesting as well. So again, what do we believe is real? Do we believe the efficiency stats? Do we believe the schedule here? Do we believe that Missouri being more battle-tested is going to help it on Thursday? I honestly do think it's going to help the Tigers, and that's why, as of right now, haven't done all my full scouting or anything like that. I really think this is a good matchup for Missouri. Now that I've had more time to think about it, getting over the initial shock of, wait, Missouri's going to be an underdog in the first round. Now that I'm over that, I'm starting to think, maybe there's something here that the numbers aren't quite capturing, which, to be fair, numbers are just numbers. They're going to spit out whatever has happened in the past and try to predict the future, which is incredibly helpful, in my opinion. I think anybody who's dismissive of that stuff is making a huge error. But at the same time, if you're going to the opposite point, if you're going 100% off the numbers and off nothing else, well, I think you're leaving a lot of room for growth and analysis on the table there as well. Although, frankly, if you just did that, you'd probably do better than just ignoring the numbers 100% of the time. So with all that said, thanks for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen today. And for your second lesson, check out the brand new Locked On College Basketball. Isaac Shade, Andy Patton, bring you everything you need to know about this tournament. Hear from some big-time experts, coaches, players throughout the college landscape. That's Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So until next time, and I got plenty to get to on this Missouri-Utah State game. Haven't even really looked at the Aggies yet, so we're going to take a full scouting deep dive coming forward this week right here on Locked On Mizzou.